Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition for the last 30 years.
It's Rosie on the House.
On this beautiful Arizona good morning, welcome to Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition for over 30 years. And that entire time, I don't think we've ever sat at a point in time where we've got this much rain in this short of time. Paul Horton from AZ Family sent us over some stats. Before this atmospheric river hit this week, we were already at 7 inches just since October. That's our annual rainfall average.
7 inches.
Okay. And we've had that in just the last quarter. That's over 4 inches above the normal.
Well, October, that one day was like 4 inches, right? Was it over one day? It was crazy.
It was crazy. How about this rain? And unfortunately, it probably will mean a bad fire season because it's going to spurt all the new growth. But man, yeah, water in the desert, it's precious, and as much of it can just fall out of the sky as we can save and not have to pump out of the ground and rivers. I'm okay with that.
Wildflower alert. Be on the lookout. Call us anytime you want to during the week and tell us when you see a good batch of wildflowers.
Oh, Picacho, on the lookout. 79 from Oracle to Florence is going to be beautiful. There's going to be places all over the state. And speaking of the state, February is a big month for Arizona. We just turned 107 this Valentine's Day. Arizona turned 107th. If you were on our email newsletter, you saw we gave away 107 state park passes to our email newsletter subscribers. We talked about doing it on the broadcast, and everyone was like,
no.
We've got too much to do on Saturday. One giveaway an hour is enough, much less 107.
We love talking to everybody, but 107 is a lot.
So we did that in our newsletter this week. Thank you to the Arizona State Park Passes for providing those. February was also the month that the conversion started when they took the Titan Missile Museum from an active missile site to turning it into a museum. And our staycation winner is traveling to Tubac, Arizona. Actually, they drove down last night in their Sanderson Ford Edge. We had their gift basket with Arizona Highways books. We had Roger Naylor was in last week and left a signed copy of Boots and Burger. They got a copy of that. Coyote Odie's cookie basket. And because it's Southern Arizona, we had to send them a bottle of wine. We called Jack, hey, are you guys wine drinkers? He said, oh, we'd enjoy a bottle if there was one there. So we had Dos Cabezos, who won the Arizona Central's wine tasting competition a couple weeks ago from Sonora, Arizona, bring a bottle over to his hotel where they're staying. And one of the things that he can do while he's out and about is go see this Titan Missile Museum.
You know, that museum, it's south of Tucson, but north of Tubac and north of Green Valley, so it's just nestled right there in the desert. And that actually really ties in with Dad and I. I'm not sure you really have a sense of what the Cold War was like, but when Rosie and I grew up, I mean, there was drills. You were afraid of the word Russia. It was kind of this constant heavy that hung over your head, and it was a real threat. As a matter of fact, Rosie remembers Bay of Pigs Cuban Missile Crisis because they lived in the bayou. And there was an alert that came out on the news, and Rosie was like 7, and he heard them say, if you live in this area by the water, you be sure and stay on the first floor and stay low and be ready to leave. And so Rosie's getting all ready to, you know, thinking they're getting ready.
One of eight kids.
Yeah.
maybe only 6 at the time. But.
And then he looks up, and there's his mom and dad dressed to go out, to go dancing. He was just appalled. He didn't sleep at all, so worried about it. But it was a really big deal in our era growing up. And now you don't even hardly know about it. But
no missile was going to ruin date night.
They had their priorities. But I wanted to introduce our Arizona listeners to this wonderful Titan Missile Museum. And we have Yvonne Morris, the director of the museum. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Jennifer. Good morning, Romy. How are you?
Very good. Very good. And so, you know what, why don't you tell people what they will find if they come down to see the museum?
Well, the Titan Missile Museum, as you said, it's located just about 25 minutes south of downtown Tucson, and it's a former operational Titan II missile site. This particular site was part of the 54 Titan II missiles that were dispersed around the United States during the Cold War. The decision was made to preserve it as a museum as part of the Cold War Heritage Program with the United States Air Force. And so when people come to the museum, they're going to actually go underground into the Launch Control Center of the missile site. They're going to learn a little bit about day-to-day life at the site and what the mission of the Titan II was and the role that it played in the Cold War. They're going to get to see a simulated launch sequence as part of their tour. And then they're going to get to go out in the missile silo and stand about 10 feet away from an actual Titan II missile. Now, it doesn't have a bomb on it anymore. It doesn't have the propellant loaded, so it's completely safe for everybody. But people will be amazed. There's just a little something for everybody.
In that control center, when it was in its operation, would that only control the launch at your site, or could you activate missiles on other launch sites?
That's true, Romy. It would only control the missile at this particular site. So unlike some of the Titan I sites where they had more than one missile that could be launched from there, the Titan II program had one launch control center with one missile. And so there were actually 18 of these missile sites that encircled Tucson during the Cold War.
And these missiles, what was their purpose?
Well, the principal purpose of the Titan II comes as a big surprise to people. It was actually peace, peace through deterrence. The United States sort of figured out early on that a civil defense program that would guarantee the safety of the majority of the population just wasn't achievable. And so the thought was, the thing that we have to do as a country is prevent World War III from happening at all. So the United States developed what was called the Strategic Triad. And the mission of the Strategic Triad was peace through deterrence. The Triad was made up of land-based missiles like the Titan II, strategic bombers like the B-52 bombers, and then submarine-launched ballistic missiles. And these three programs working together projected a credible threat to the Soviet Union that said to the Soviet Union, even if you launch a preemptive strike against the United States, we have the means to retaliate with such force and devastation that you will die even as we are dying. And that premise is called mutual assured destruction, or MAD, which I think is like the best acronym ever for anything, because it just totally describes the premise of mine is bigger than yours, and so you're going to lose. And so for the entire length of the Cold War, mutual assured destruction and probably a good amount of luck protected the United States, and it kept the Soviet Union and the United States from going to real war with each other.
Now, what about the other 17 missile sites? Are they all like filled in with concrete? What happened to the other 17?
And go ahead.
What made Tucson a site to build all these to begin with?
Well, let me answer your second question first, Romy. We're not exactly sure why the Tucson area was chosen, except all of the reasons, because some of them, I think, are still classified to this day. Mm. But what we have been able to determine is several criteria that the Air Force considered by just looking at all of the locations of the various missile sites and what they had in common. So the logistics of operating a Titan II missile wing of 18 missiles, it requires a huge amount of support. So first of all, you need a large Air Force base like Davis-Monthan. You need it to be located close to a functioning rail line so that components can be brought in.
Components that go boom.
Yes. And, you know, population density played a role, I think, in the decision of where to place the sites. I mean, in 1963, when they were building these sites, Green Valley didn't really exist. And Tucson was much smaller than it is now. So we think population density played a role. But also what surprises a lot of people is that the congressional delegation from Arizona and the Pima County Board of Supervisors all lobbied to have these sites placed around Tucson because it was such an economic boon to the community. And it really didn't make Tucson any more of a target than it already was because of the huge boneyard of aircraft that they store at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. All aircraft from the military, when they're retired, go to live at the boneyard at Davis-Monthan. And that's a huge wealth of spare parts and aircraft that can be recalled to active service. And so Tucson was already on the top 10 of the suspected Soviet target list. And so bringing Titan in to the mix really didn't make us that much more of a target. So we think that's why Tucson was chosen. And as to what happened to the sites when they were deactivated, the government actually sold them off through the General Accounting Office. People could just buy them after they were decommissioned. And the decommissioning process consisted of several phases. First, the Air Force would come in.
And we'll get into those phases right after this. We can do a lot here at Rosie on the House, but we can't stop the clock. We're talking with the director of the Titan Missile Museum, Yvonne Morris, here at Rosie on the House.